I don't love camping, but I love 4-H camp. During this podcast, we'll hear what Karen Santel means by that statement. But first, my name is Carrie Rabideau. I'm an Extension educator, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. So let's get back to the quote I started with. And if you follow these podcasts in the past, you've heard from Karen before. She was in episode 4 and she was in episode 19. In both of those podcasts, Karen shared her work with helping programs implement vision and action with volunteers. This time, we're going to hear about Karen's passion for connecting camping programs and leadership skill development in teens. Karen Santel, hello and welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for having me back. I'm grateful to be here and talk about something that I'm excited about and that's, you know, happening as we speak because camping season is upon us.
It's perfect timing for us to talk about camp and the experiences young people are going to have this summer. But I think we need to start with you not only telling us about your work, like, you know, refresh us again for those who didn't hear you in the earlier podcasts, but also give us that context for the quote I read at the beginning of this, that I don't love camping, but I love 4-H camp.
Yes, sure. A little bit about myself. I have been working for the Center for Youth Development now for just about 24 years. I consider myself a youth development specialist. And, you know, thinking about the context that youth learn and lead within our 4-H organization, and I really my passion is around the skills that our teenage youth learn and the leadership skills they develop through many different ways throughout the 4-H program. But one of my kind of the things that have been the consistent with my career is 4-H camp or just in developing leadership skills in youth. And I joke because I'm not a camper. I don't like the outdoors. I don't like bugs. I don't like heat. You can't see me, but I'm pretty fair. I'm blonde. I'm a Scandinavian. And the sun and I just don't always, you know, get along very well. So just being outdoors is not my first choice, but being involved with 4-H camp and developing those leadership skills in youth and training teenage kids to be camp counselors is just where I see the magic of youth development happening. And then it's like I said, it's the magic of youth development. It's that perfect storm where all of that comes together. Is that camp counselor training and then them implementing camp for younger youth. And a lot of times we may think that camp is about the campers, you know, those third through sixth graders or the, you know, that those younger youth. But really in my mind, it's about those teenage youth. So that's just a little bit about me and a little bit about that quote.
I liked what you said there about that when we send our children to camp and we know that there's counselors there, we're thinking about the campers themselves and prepping them and do they have everything that they need and what is their camp list and will they be homesick? What we're focusing on today is the young people who are the counselors to those campers. And so you have been instrumental in training and making sure that that's an intentional leadership learning experience for our young people. This is also based on a blog post that, you know, many people who listen to the podcast know that we often use our blog post as a springboard for our podcast series so that you can talk more about the topic that you wrote about. You discussed a set of guiding principles that you use to train those camp counselors. And I'm wondering if you can describe those for us and then tell us how you actually apply those principles within the training you do.
Perfect. Yes, I can. I will try because it's always, I think the one unique thing about this is you said that what I'm sharing about is that magic with our teenage youth that we train to be camp counselors. And that, so I set up these, you know, developmental framework with them, but then I'm training them to also do that with the campers at camp. So it's, as I said, it's the magic. So it's, some of my examples might be about the campers and some might be about the camp counselors, but it's, you know, it's, it goes back to Kanapka's basic youth needs. And then, you know, other researchers have expanded on them and they're what I call, you know, the principles of youth development. It's practices. And it's things that I don't think anybody is going to say, oh, that's new, Karen, because that's what it's what youth development research is based on. And there's eight, I believe it's 8 or 9 different principles or practices that I try to implement within the training. And I also, there's a quote that I've read one time that youth development, it's more than an art than a science. You know, so that's it's that how all this comes together, and it, you know, it's different for each different. It's different for each person because we all grow and develop different ways, different speeds. And even as adults, we're always growing and learning. So that's, I mean, that's why I get excited about this work, even, you know, 20 years later. So these principles, you know, the first one has to do about safety, physical and psychological safety. That's the one thing we want for all of our youth. That's what we all want as adults. And just, you know, making sure everybody's physically safe, as well as that they feel that they belong and that they're included. You know, and I think that's one of the things we talk about with our camp counselors about camp is, you know, safety is the number one. I always tell them, I'm the one who has to make a call to that parent if something happens to their young camper. I don't want to make that call. So don't do anything that's going to make me make that call. You know what I mean? But yet it puts them, puts that in perspective for those young adults too. So, you know, so safety is of utmost important. And we also, you know, want to make sure there's no cliques that happen or no bullying. We want to make everybody feel safe and they want to come back. I mean, that's one of my goals for our campers is that they want to come back the next year and also that they want to be camp counselors. That's one of my favorite stories is when I hear of camp counselors, like the first time they are a camp counselor and they're usually 9th or 10th grade. So that's 15, 16 years old. And when they share stories, yeah, when I was a camper and Carrie was my camp counselor, I remember she did this and that, and you know, and they can just tell these great stories. So that's just warms my heart. But I think that kind of flows into the supportive relationships, which, you know, that's important to develop those relationships with camp counselors and their campers. And just as I talked about being belonging and welcoming, making sure everybody is included. That's so important at camp because a lot of times the camp I most, I coordinate now, we either do a 1 or a 2 night, which that isn't, you know, it isn't that long of a camp. Compared to some camps that are out there that, you know, you send your kids away for a week or for a month. But sometimes I've heard from parents, they like that because it might be the first time their kids are away from home. And it's like, it's only 1 night or it's only 2 nights. And that's, we use that when we talk with our camp counselors and train them on how to deal with homesickness. You know, okay, you know what, it's only 1 night. You know, you're here with your buddy in the cabin and can you just make it? I'm going to be right here. In the morning, we're going to have breakfast and then lunch, and then mom or dad are going to be here. And so that's the one nice thing about really developing those relationships. We talk about that a lot with our counselors as well, you know, with our campers and making sure everybody's included and feels as part of the group. Appropriate structure. You know, that's things like limit setting, clear and consistent rules and expectations, that firm enough control, but yet a little bit of chaos too, which comes with camp, which that's kids remember that. But yet, that's kind of an art there that comes hard for some teenage youth to kind of figure that out because we can't be drill sergeants, but yet we don't want chaos and have risk of physical harm or something like that. But so we talk about, and that's that, how do we plan camp and make sure, you know, campfire is a great example of appropriate structure and building, you know, you have lots of fun at the beginning of the campfire and you slowly build it down to nice quiet songs. And as so they kind of calm themselves down as they go off to their cabins. So we talk about that appropriate structure and planning the activities that we do and why we do them. Another one is positive social norms. So what are the rules of behaviors? We have campers that return year after year and then become camp counselors. And there's some historical traditions that happen with camp that, you know, I don't even really realize it happens until I hear it. And I go, oh, kids just know this is the way it happens, such as before a meal, we line up in two lines on each side because there's two doors. They just know that's what it happens. And those that have been here before, they make sure everybody follows the kind of the unwritten rules, or just that those social norms that we have about camp, which I think that's one of the unique things about camp or any organization that has those traditions, that those older kids just take their younger ones underneath and make it all happen.
The mentoring skills yes. that they develop through that.
Exactly. And it happens, as I said, you know, it happens as our the camp that I work with the closest is for grades 3 through 6. So you see, which is, that's a big age span. What a 3-year-old and a third grader and a sixth grader. But it's cool to see that. And, you know, a lot of times we have, you know, there's families or there's cousins or they're, you know, they come from 4-H groups, so they know each other. So there's some of that, but it's a mixed county, so they don't know everybody. So it's just exciting to see that mentoring happen, even at the camper stage, but also between the counselors and the campers. Another one is support for efficacy and mattering. You know, just things about making a difference, about, you know, youth feeling empowered, that they have control over what they're doing. You know, there's lots of choices we have at camp. Of course, as I talked before, we've got this schedule and we've got some structure, but yet there's that kind of flexibility in there too. And with camp, weather sometimes makes us have to be flexible or always go to plan B. So there's just, I think, kids can really grow. And that's the one exciting things I see with our camp counselors as well as their campers. So I have other staff that work with me that know the camp counselors on a different level. And they'll say, you know what, I was a little concerned about so-and-so being a camp counselor, but it's like, they have grown so much. You can just see them blossom. And it's fun then when camp counselors say the same thing about some campers that they might know back from their hometown, or it might be their, you know, little cousin or something, and they go, wow, you know, this was really great for them. You know, and I think the other thing that is cool about 4-H camp and do youth development programs in general is because we know what we do in our little, you know, 36 hours, it can change lives, and we know it can impact lives, but then they go back to their communities, their families, and those things, they take what they learn there and do them out in their communities too. And people see that and go, wow, they really grew, you know, through 4-H camp. And then the last one is opportunities to build skills. And, you know, and skills, anything from social. I just kind of shared a couple examples of how kids can develop social skills. You know, and that's really one of the things that we look for or strive for at 4-H camp is it might be the first time a kid had to share like living space. A lot of kids these days might have their own room. So there's how do you deal with that? And just getting along, making new friends. And then of course we also do skill building around, you know, a project area, or since we're outdoors, we try to do something in environmental education. So there's always the skill building, but for the campers, but the really, as I said in my blog post, is really the skill building I am looking at as a youth development specialist is the skills that are developed in those camp counselors. And they all, the things I just listed, you know, as well as there's program planning skills, there's human development, you know, how do you deal with the age group that we're working with, and group dynamics. Sometimes it's been real interesting to watch this group of teenagers. And I, you know, they're 9th, 10th graders and through a year past high school. So some of them might be a camp counselor for about 4 years. And just to see their leadership skills grow, or just how different kids do different, there's different dynamics where we always tweak our training. That's like, okay, we've got so-and-so, you know, this group back. So last year we know they really needed to work on, you know, what we call get to know you games. You know, they really need to interact with their campers and get to know them. So we include that more in the training the next year, or we may call them out. The one, I remember 1 year, not that long ago, I shared the camper evaluation. So we always have the campers, you know, fill out the traditional, how'd you feel about this? And they always then make comments about their counselors. And that really, it was cool for them to read those comments. It was, you know, almost a year later, but it was like, it really showed within that program planning process when we reflect on not just how we thought, but when you look at the participants, reflections and evaluation that hit home in a positive way, but also it made them realize why they do what they do and how important it is.
Well, and that is something that you had said, that 4-H camp is an authentic opportunity for camp yes. counselors to use their skills in real time. And, yes. And you cited that, you know, that planning ability, that implementation, but also the evaluation. Can you talk a little bit more about then how do you help these young people evaluate their experience and their and how they can improve?
Yes. You know, and I would say I'm getting better at that, Carrie, because, you know, sometimes that's unfortunately reflection and evaluation sometimes gets forgotten in the busy world of youth development. But we've just been more intentional about making sure that happens. So we always do, as I said, you know, the typical last day of camp, have them do a little paper evaluation, what they liked, didn't like. But we also try to include at least once, if not twice, have the counselors lead a reflection within their cabin group, you know, like at night, how was the day, you know, and then they will write that down. And then as a group, we'll reflect on that together. And I keep those from year to year. So we know, you know, and sometimes it's that interaction of who's in that cabin. It might be that, you know, the people that are there. And there's not much we can change about that. But if there's something that really didn't go well, we can change that for the next year. We also do a counselor reflection at the end. And some years I've done, you know, kind of the same similar one. I might have a paper one, or for sure we do just a discussion. One of my favorite and easiest one is roses and thorns. You know, what was your rose? What was the good thing? What went well this year? And then thorn, what didn't go well in that? Just having that authentic conversation with those teen counselors at the end of camp is really, really perspective. It gives some perspective, because sometimes things that I thought went well, they didn't think it went well. And so, you know, sometimes, and I share that sometimes, and then vice versa as well. And I think I always have regular check-ins with the counselors just to make sure things are going. Because we really do, when we do camp, our camp counselors are really running camp, and we as adults are just on the side guiding, watching, you know, helping. And I shouldn't say not even, probably only helping if asked.
So you've talked about the principles and some of the guiding research that you use as a foundation for training and providing this experience for counselors, mm-hmm. and also then how you guide them through that planning, implementation, and evaluation process. Do you have a young person that you can kind of walk us through who was a camper and has become a camp and who became a camp counselor, mm-hmm. and where you saw their skills develop and that they were able to apply that planning and demonstrate and grow their leadership through that camp experience?
You know, that's our prime example when we have kids who have been at camp as campers. And I think the one in particular I'm thinking of, I believe she was the youngest of several in her family. And so she was the youngest, and everybody, you know, it's like, oh, I finally get to come to camp. And you know what? Probably a pretty exuberant camper, kind of, you know, out there, an extrovert, loves camping, loves to be at camp, does any crazy thing that the camp counselors want her to, and then becomes a camp counselor. And she, you know what? She's one of my favorite camp counselors because she gets 4-H camp. She gets camp itself, but I saw her fine-tune her leadership skills. And I would say, because I would say being a camp counselor, but the other thing that happened during this time frame, then she was a camp counselor probably for 5 years, she also became a state 4-H ambassador, and how those two complemented each other and really drove her strengths, and really was able to, you know, take that step back and take on leadership role and think of the big picture and the dynamics of people. And what was needed was willing to, you know, she may wanted to lead the skit, but we had a hole over in arts and crafts. She would take that on in, you know, that doing what's good for the whole. You know, it's not just about her, the camper, or about camp, but that bigger picture of working as a team, working as a group, And then even, you know, being part of a bigger organization and what that means, which I think that's, you know, some leadership skills. We can be great leaders, but we also, there's always guiding principles that we need to follow, whether they're youth development principles or principles put on to us as our, from our organization.
Well, I like your example of that young person that really showcases how being a camp counselor and having that authentic experience at camp helped to springboard her. It was part of her leadership development. Yes. It was, she could take risks in that mm-hmm. environment in terms of, and I mean, and you know, those risks of I'm standing in front of a group, I'm singing in front of a group, I'm leading this, I'm putting myself out there, getting that positive reinforcement back. And that made her confident enough to go ahead and be a state ambassador. And I'm sure there are a lot of other yes. leadership opportunities she's taken in between, but yep. I think that just helps to capitalize on why you don't love camping, but you do love 4-H camp, because yep. that's just a great example of what you see in young people and how it's so positive for them.
Yep. And I think as you said that, Carrie, it made me think of that we use the term mastery a lot in our 4-H world. And I really think with that authentic opportunity at camp to lead, it then also it's transformational back to other places of their lives. When they go back to their communities, they go back to their 4-H club, they go back to their sports team, they have skills that they have developed at 4-H camp that they are now applying to other parts of their life, which is, once again, it just warms my heart, just like a campfire.
Well, Karen, I mean, thank you for sharing the magic of camp that happens with youth with us today, and the excitement you have when you share all of the components of a quality experience of a camp counselor and the leadership skills that they develop. It's just infectious of how excited you are about it. It makes me excited for summer and for sending our kids off to camp and sending our older youth off to be camp counselors and have those wonderful summer experiences that they're building those leadership skills. So thank you for doing this podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you to all, you know, all the parents out there who send their kids to camp, let their kids be camp counselors, because it's magic happens.
Well, on that note, I will bring this podcast to an end. But as we always say, this conversation doesn't have to end here. Jump on Karen's blog post, the I Don't Love Camping, But I Love 4-H Camp, and continue this conversation with her about maybe share some of the stories you have about those authentic leadership skills developing in young people. You can find us on www.extension.umn.edu/youth, and we have research, training, and events that we offer in youth development, as well as information on our Minnesota 4-H program. You can also look on there to find out about a summer 4-H camp, whether it's a day camp or an overnight, that may be happening near you. That is going to wrap up this podcast. This is Carrie Robidoux, joined by Karen Santel from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.